I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to speak on the subject of faith because that's what makes our visions and dreams come to pass, is faith. And so I want to speak to you about how to take the limits off of God this morning. Because you know what? You've got a long way to go. Amen. You've come a long way. But yet you've got a long way to go. And if we have the Amplified Bible in our software, please put it up there for me, brother. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, speak to us. We give ourselves to you for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the Amplified Bible brings out really the primary principle that I want us to embrace today. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Now this last phrase right here is the all important phrase that we're going to nail down here this morning for a few minutes. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Let's read it together, shall we? Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now that is the nature of faith. The purpose of this message this morning is to show us how to cooperate with God in the miraculous realm of the Spirit. How to cooperate with God in the miraculous realm of the Spirit. God is a faith God. And this is how we cooperate with Him, by perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Faith has a perception of reality. Now, that's the first point of my message this morning. The perception of reality. Turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, or turn to your screen, whichever you do. Hallelujah. You can look up or look down. Just don't look around. Okay. No, just kidding. You can look around too if you want. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace sanctify himself, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live in two realms, the natural and the spiritual realm. The natural and the spiritual realm. The Bible tells us that there are the two realms that we live in, natural and spiritual. God has given us senses to perceive the realities in both realms. Hallelujah. God has given us senses to perceive the realities in both realms. In the natural realm, we have the five physical senses, right? We see, we hear, we feel, we taste, we touch. Each of those senses is able to perceive something real. Right? You perceive me this morning. I perceive you. We're here together. The five senses are working this morning. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
All right. So not only do we have the five senses of the body, and here's the point I want to make to you about them if you want to look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Each one of our senses is limited to one perception each. Okay? Each one of our senses is limited to one perception each. With my eye, there's a limitation to the five physical senses. The natural realm limits us. Living by the five senses limits us. There's a limitation here. We're talking about taking the limits off of God. Hallelujah. So we have to understand, in order to do that, we have to transition from the natural five senses to the spirit realm. Into another sense, we're going to talk about in a minute. But the sum of sense knowledge is human reason. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Or you could say, don't lean on your own head, your own understanding. Sense knowledge, that's human reason. That's the result, brothers and sisters, of the five physical senses. The five physical senses produce human reason. Right? Human reason is limited. When you live in a realm of human reason, you live in a realm of limitation. How many of you agree with me? God transcends the realm of the five senses. And if we don't transcend that realm, then we're going to limit ourselves and limit God in our life. So we have to understand, as Christians, when we're born again, we are now aware, made aware of the spirit realm of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if you're born again, you can see into the kingdom of God. Now you're not limited to the five physical sense realm, because people are not born again or limited to that realm. Right? And you try to talk to a person out here who's not born again, and they'll tell you what? Seeing is believing. They're saying, I live by my five senses. I live by what I can feel, see, hear, taste, and touch. And the sum total of that sense knowledge perception is called human reason. And the whole world, apart from being born again, lives by human reason. If I can see it, I believe it. If I can understand it with the sum total of my five senses that produces human reason, if I can reason it out, then I can believe it. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, God's going to do some things you're never going to figure out. Hallelujah. God is going to say some things that are going to fry your brain. Hallelujah. God is going to do some things that your mind is not going to comprehend, or you're not going to be able to conceive. The Bible said He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or imagine. Hallelujah. Think about that. We're talking about taking the limits off of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Sanda Baha. Say it with me. God wants to do some big things. Yeah, and He wants to do them through you, and He wants to do them through me, and He wants to do them here at Jubilee. Hallelujah. And if we can transition from the natural to the spiritual, if we can move from the sense realm to the spirit realm, from the five physical sense realm to the realm of the spirit, or the what I call the sixth sense or the faith realm, then we're going to be able to cooperate with God and bring to pass some miraculous things that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. Hallelujah. This is the result of faith right here. This is the product of going beyond five physical senses and human reason. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, all things are possible to him that believes. Hallelujah. All things are possible with faith. Faith. Come on with me. Shout faith. Hallelujah. Yeah, all things are possible through faith, Jesus said. And so we've got to learn to live by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, said we walk by faith and not by sight or by our five senses or by the sum total of our human reason. So human reason keeps you in bondage. Human reason keeps you in limitation. If you live by reason, you'll say, I can't. If you live by reason, you'll say, I don't have it. If you live by reason, you live by limitation. But when you break out of the realm of reason and you get in the realm of faith, you get into the realm of impossibility. Hallelujah. Now you're out of the limitation realm and you're in the realm of impossibility becomes possible to you. Nothing is impossible. You know, the Bible tells us that with God all things are possible, and it said all things are possible to him that believes. That's the difference between hope and faith. Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for. All right, that scripture that said with God all things are possible is the hope scripture. Hope is speaks of possibility. When something's impossible, it's hopeless, right? But with God all things are possible, so God is saying there's nothing hopeless. Hallelujah to God. Woo, son of God, there's nothing hopeless. But that doesn't make it happen. But that scripture is telling us we need to understand and believe in hope. There's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing hopeless. I need to get a hope. Hallelujah. But then it goes on to say that with all things are possible to him that believeth. Now that's faith realm. So that's faith connected with that hope. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. I got to get a dream here. I got to get a vision. I got to see something. I got to have a hope. I got to have an imagination, because if I can perceive it, I can receive it. Hallelujah. If I can see it, I can have it. Hallelujah. So there's this sixth sense now. We have our five senses that are in the realm of reason. And listen, you can create a new job by faith. Come on. I mean, you can create a place to live by faith. Woo! You can create a car to drive by faith. I don't mean create it, bring it into reality. You put it together, t- type of create. But you can bring it into your world through faith. You can create by faith. God's a creator. Hallelujah. And he's never stopped being one. Did you ever think of that? God is still a creator. Come on. Woo, son of God. God is still a creator. If there's something we need, it don't exist, he can still make it for us. Come on. He can give you a new heart. He can give you a new back. Oh, sholabaha. Blood pressure. Come on down. Come on down. It's coming on down in here this morning. God's creating some normal regulated blood pressure in here this morning. If you got high blood pressure, you say, I receive it by faith, normal regulated blood pressure. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise. You just got healed right here. There's a healing right there. Faith creates. Hallelujah. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. God's a creator. Whatever's missing, he can make it. Hallelujah. If it's missing in your life, God can make it for you. Isn't that wonderful? We got a lady in Fairmont who just recently had 18 years, a dead pancreas in her 40s, sugar diabetes for most of her life since a teenager. Family doctor, been doctoring her for years. The Lord spoke a word in the service. Hallelujah. Whew. Woo! I said the Lord spoke a word in the service. Come on. Hallelujah. Hey! Woo! The Lord spoke a word in the service. Hallelujah. And the Lord said there's a pancreas that's going to work in here. And I didn't even know there was one that was dead. But God reveals things. And he speaks creatively. Hallelujah. And he said there's a pancreas in here that's going to work. Well, 2 or 3 weeks later, she came to church and said, I was at my doctor for a pain in my side, and he did a sonogram, and while he was doing the sonogram, he said, hey, guess what? Your pancreas is producing insulin. It's been dead for 18 years. Doctor said, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I have never. Woo! I have never seen that before in my life. God's a creator. Come on. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your blind eye can see. Your deaf ear can hear. Your dead heart can come alive again. Hallelujah. The dead nerves and muscle tissues in your body and in your back and in your spine that have begun to deteriorate, discs that are deteriorating, can be made whole again. And they are today, right now. Come on. You're getting healed today. Woo! Come on. Shout. Let's give God a praise. Say, I'm getting healed today. I'm getting healed today. There's a miracle of creative discs here. Regenerated discs being created in your back while you sit there. I speak it into you today. But God's a creator. Bible said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their diseases. Hallelujah. That's what's happening right now. He's sending his word to heal and deliver just as it comes out by the Holy Ghost. And you get a miracle. Hallelujah. Whew. Woo! Hallelujah! You get a miracle. Signs and wonders. God's a creator. Nothing's impossible with God. That's our hope. So you need to get that in your mind today, brother and sister. There's no such thing as a hopeless situation. With God, all things are possible. And there's nothing impossible to him that believes. So now I got to get that person of faith and connect with God's unlimited ability. And we're going to make a miracle happen. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, the sixth sense. Everybody say it with me. I've got a sixth sense. Where is that sixth sense? It's with the heart man believeth, the Bible said. That's your sixth sense. Comes from your spirit man. With your body, you have the five senses to perceive the natural reality. But remember, the natural reality produces human reason and it limits you. But that sixth sense is from your spirit man. It's the ability to believe. Faith perceives as a real fact. Amplified Bible. Faith perceives as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the five physical senses. Oh, hallelujah to God. Why? Because I got a sixth sense. And my sixth sense knows something that the other five don't know yet. Faith perceives. Can you put that back up for me, brother? Faith perceives as a real fact. Oh, hallelujah. See, we say this is real. I feel it. This is real. I see it. The five senses, but faith perceives as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the five physical senses. Faith can perceive a reality that the five physical senses have not perceived yet. Now, When we walk by faith, that means we leave the realm of the five senses. That means we start living by the sixth sense. For with the heart man believes. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 17 and 18. Let's look at a scripture or two here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Say it with me, I'm a faith person.
I'm a faith person.
Oh, I walk by faith.
I walk by
my sixth sense.
Not by my five.
Woo, hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I walk by my six.
I walk by my six.
And not by my five.
I walk by my six.
And not by my five. Woo, hallelujah. I feel like rapping in here today, brother. Glory. I walk by my six and not by my five. Whew. Think about it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Sanda bahataya basai. It's put you in the realm of reality. Put you in the realm of miracles, the expectant realm. Get ready, Brother Harold. Start expecting. Bigger things are coming on you. Bigger things are coming in your life than you've ever dreamed and imagined. And I'm going to show you how it's going to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, hallelujah, everybody say, that's me, may give to you, woo, tell your neighbor, may give to you, come on, may give to you, woo, hallelujah, come on, hallelujah, woo, may give to you, you, come on, shout me, hallelujah, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now think about this, saints. This is being prayed for a group of spirit-filled Pentecostals. The Ephesians in Acts chapter 19 were the people Paul went to and laid hands on, 12 of them, who were not even born again. They were disciples of John the Baptist. When Paul came, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we've not even heard whether there be any such thing as the Holy Ghost. And he said, then what were you baptized? And they said, under John's baptism. And he said, well, John's baptism was for repentance, getting you ready to believe on Jesus. Yeah, but Jesus has come. You guys didn't hear. And they said, oh, hallelujah. We're not up, caught up with what God's doing. There's a word right there. Sholabahatai said, you got to get caught up with what God's doing. Come on. You got to get caught up, hallelujah, with what God's doing. Some people are in yesterday's revival, but hallelujah, there's a new one here today. There's something new and fresh going on in the church. You can't get stuck in the old. You got to get in the new. Hallelujah. Come on. Woo! Tell your neighbor, got to get out of the old and into the new. That's what Paul said. You people have already moved in John's baptism. You've already had that. There's something more here. What is it? Well, Jesus has come. Now you can be born again. Now you can enter the kingdom. The Bible said he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means they got born again. And then he laid his hands on them. Hallelujah. He said, after you've been born again, there's still something else to go here. Paul said, I'm not leaving you people till I get you up to where God is. Hallelujah. Till you've got into everything God is doing right here today. That's the apostolic ministry. It comes along to find you where you're at and bring you up to where you can be in God. Hallelujah. Paul said, I want to fill up that which is lacking in your faith. I want to find where you are and bring you to where you can be. Hallelujah. Bring you out of just being an evangelical into a Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Glory. Into being a tongue talker. A Bible toter. A Bible quoter. Call it and haul it. Name it and claim it. Quote it and tote it. Hallelujah. Get it all. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! I said, get it all! Come on! Get it all! I'm not getting stuck in yesterday's deal. God said, I'm going to do a new thing, and there's a new move every morning, he said. His mercies are new every morning. You need to get up in the morning and say, what's new today, Lord? What's new today? Hallelujah. What's new today? Something new going on here every day. I'm not getting stuck in yesterday. Not getting stuck in the old. As good as it was, there's something new. There's something more. We're going from glory to glory. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going from faith to faith. We're going from strength to strength. Hallelujah. We're not stopping till we get all that God has for us. Hallelujah. Are you that hungry? Come on. Are you that hungry? Hallelujah. That you're ready to go on and say, God, I want all you got for me. Give it to me. I'm not staying here. You know what that means? That means we're going to have to change and adjust. That means when God does the new things, I'm going to adjust myself to it, whatever it is. How many agree it was adjustment when you started speaking in tongues?
Yeah, they are.
You got speaking in tongues and prophesying, and then you started telling your friends about it, and adjustments came in your life, right? You adjusted your relationships. Hallelujah, because maybe some of them didn't want to hang around you anymore. Then you get on from the Pentecostal movement, and you get into the charismatic movement and the word of faith movement. Hallelujah. You know, the Pentecostal movement was a seed planting movement. It was a preaching movement, and it was all about planting seed. But the charismatic movement was a teaching movement. It was all about watering that seed. And people didn't realize the one persecuted the other. The old always persecutes the new. Because it doesn't understand it yet. Come on. And so the Pentecostal movement was a preaching movement. All the great A.A. Allens and Jack Coes and Oral Roberts and all these guys were the preachers in the Pentecostal movement. They were just seed planters. Paul said, I plant, but Apollos water. That's me. And God give the increase. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Come on. Woo! Apollos watered. That's the teaching ministry. And then God gives the increase. You got to have the preaching and the teaching to get the increase. Come on. You got to have the seed planted and watered in your life in order to get the full harvest of the seed sown. And so guess what's happening? Prophetically speaking, the body of Christ is now coming into the full harvest of the Pentecostal and charismatic movement, because the Pentecostals planted the word. The charismatics watered the word, and now us that are here are receiving the full benefits. Hallelujah. The full harvest of the word that was preached and watered. And we're going to get to walk in the whole deal. Hallelujah to God. God's going to bring it to maturity. And first the blade, then the corn, then the full corn in the ear. The preaching, the teaching, the blade. First the blade, then the corn, then the full corn in the ear. That's the apostolic prophetic movement that we're in right now. This is the full corn in the ear move. Bringing the saints to maturity move. The manifestation of the sons and daughters of God who have come to maturity in Christ and who can walk like Jesus walked. Talk like Jesus talked. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
I just come in a little side there, restoration teaching to put in a little bit there. Hallelujah. Whew. Woo! Son of a Hataya Messiah. Are you all blessed out here today?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Faith is the sixth sense. Come on, everybody, say it with me this morning. Faith is the sixth sense. Say it with me. I walk by the six and not by the five. You got to get that. I walk by the six and not by the five. Come on. Woo. We got to make a t-shirt. We need a bumper sticker. People won't know what you're talking about, man. You got a bumper sticker, but a t-shirt. That's how I walk by the six and not by the five. They're going to think, what is up with this person here? I walk by the six and not by the five. Hallelujah. I've left the five behind. Praise God. I don't deny the realities, but I acknowledge their limitations. They're not the final authority. I acknowledge their reality, but not their finality. Just like healing. I'm acknowledging that there is a problem there in my body. I acknowledge the reality, but not the finality. Come on. Woo! I said I acknowledge the reality, but not the finality. That's another t-shirt right there. Let's start a t-shirt business. Come on. Just one-liner bombs from the Holy Ghost. That'll make you $1 million. Well, I'm going to do it. I've been writing them down. I got a whole list of them. Yeah. I acknowledge the reality, but not the finality. Because faith is perceiving something that the five physical senses haven't perceived yet. Faith, five senses are perceiving there's a sickness, but faith is perceiving there's a healing. Hallelujah. And so I don't deny the reality, but I don't admit to a finality. I say, this is the finality. This is the end result. This is the outcome. This is the way it will be. Because I perceive by faith. I perceive the reality of that which my five senses haven't perceived yet. I perceive by the Word of God, by His stripes, I was healed. I perceive that by faith, by my sixth sense. And I perceive it as a real fact. A fact. See, listen, this is when faith is going. This is when the miracle happens right here. Are you with me? This is when the miracle happens. When the fact, the faith fact becomes as real as the five senses fact to you. That sixth sense is gonna, faith is gonna release the miracle in your life. When that sixth sense fact becomes as real to you as the other five. See, for most of us, the five are more real than the sixth. Are you with me? The Bible said Abraham waxed strong in faith. He grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that that which God promised he was able also to perform. It said he considered not his own body now as good as dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He refused to consider the five senses as a finality. And the Bible said he believed, he hoped against hope, believed according to that which was spoken. His sixth sense came in. He knew what the five said, but he said, I got a sixth sense here. I believe according to that which is spoken. I perceive it as a real fact. I am Abraham. Hallelujah. My five senses said that's not a real reality yet, but faith said it is real. I said, faith said it is real. He didn't accept the finality of the reality of the five senses. He accepted the reality of faith and of the Word of God. And that's the way it turned out. Revelation knowledge takes us higher than sense knowledge. Whew. Woo! Hallelujah. I know I'm a preaching and teaching here today, so you gotta stay with me. Hallelujah. Where I lead you, you got to follow. What I feed you, you got to swallow. Come on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Revelation knowledge, the sixth sense. That's where your faith gets its knowledge, from revelation. Your five physical senses gets its knowledge from this natural realm. But faith, the sixth sense, gets its knowledge from revelation. It gets its knowledge from revelation. Eyes of our understanding be enlightened. We got to see something. Hallelujah. The Bible said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments. One translation says reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, revelation knowledge is what he's talking about. Revelation knowledge surmounts human reason. Faith, the Bible said, that sixth sense has to rule over the other five. Whew. Let's look at the examples of the limits of sense knowledge in the Bible. The limits of sense knowledge. Sense knowledge keeps us tied to the natural realm. John chapter 20, verse 26 through 29. Let me lay aside the things which so easily beset me. Pastor Harold gave me permission to do that. Whew. Woo! If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
John chapter 20, verse 26. What does it say? A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. You know, that's what he always says when he comes to your house. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side, stop doubting and believe. Thomas still required sense knowledge. He's living in the natural, and he said, my Lord and my God. When he saw the hole in his side, he said, there's something here that goes beyond my five senses. People don't walk around with holes in their hands and in their side. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed. Come on, everybody. Woo! Say blessed. Here's where the blessing comes right here. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have left that five physical sense realm and have gone to the sixth sense realm and perceive as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the five senses. Hallelujah. That's when the blessing flows. The supernatural. Thomas was in the sense realm. He was limiting himself. Gehazi, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13 through 18. This is the story of Elisha and the servant of Elisha named Gehazi. You remember him? Gehazi was a man walking by his senses. He was a man walking in limitation, but the prophet of God, who was a seer, had left the realm of the five senses and was living in the unlimited realm of God, was living in the realm of the miraculous. He had taken the limits off of God, moved to his sixth sense. Hallelujah. Come on, say it with me. I got to live by the six and not by the five. Woo, you got to get that in your spirit. Why do we have people repeat after us? Because God's, you can't eat something without using your mouth. How many know that's true? And when I have you say it and repeat it, those words are anointed. Whew, I said they're anointed. Come on. Those words are spirit and life. And when you speak them, guess what? You're eating them. They're getting down in your spirit. And that anointing's getting down in your belly. Hallelujah. It's getting in your spirit. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. This is a story. And he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. This is the king of Syria. He's mad at the prophet because you know the story. He's trying to make war against Israel, and the prophet of God is telling his military secrets, and he can't seem to ambush the Israelites. Isn't that wonderful how the devil can't get an ambush on you? Come on. The devil can't sneak up on you because the Holy Ghost is there to show you where he's at and what he's doing. Hallelujah. If God can do that for you and for them in the Old Testament, reveal the enemy's battle plans so that they could avoid the ambush, guess what? We got a better covenant established upon better promises, and the devil's not sneaking up on you. Come on. The devil is not going to sneak up on you and ambush you and take you out. Because when he shows up, you won't even be there. Hallelujah. Because you knew what he was up to. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. This is how you keep from getting killed. People get killed in ambushes. This is how you keep from getting killed in your Christian life. Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. You got to know how to where the enemy's going to attack and understand his battle plan. And God can do that for you. Woo, son of a high. God's doing that for you. He's doing that for me right now. He's doing that for you. I was driving back from a meeting in Akron, Ohio, back in about 1987. I went to hear Jerry Savelle speak up in Akron, Ohio. And I was driving back. It was in October. And I was on 79. You know those bridges coming in on 79 into Fairmont? I was getting ready to go over one of them. And it was late at night, 11 or 12. The temperature had dropped. It had rained a little bit. And it really had dropped. And the roads were starting to get a little slick. And I'm driving along praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Whew. Woo! I said praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on. You got any Holy Ghost prayers in here? I'm driving along praying in the Holy Ghost since Satan was setting up an ambush. And I'm driving and I'm heading toward this overpass. I'm coming down a little grade and there's this bridge in front of me. And all of a sudden, as I'm driving along praying in the Holy Ghost, I saw a vision. There was a car in front of me. I saw that car on that overpass go out of control, spin out of control on that bridge. Now, he hadn't even got on the overpass yet. But I saw in advance what was going to happen. And when I saw that, I let off my gas and I started just getting some distance. And behind me, some distance, was an 18-wheeler. And, of course, roads were slick. He pulled out because I'm slowing down to get around me. And sure enough, as soon as that car in front of me got on the overpass, it spun out of control. And here's this 18-wheeler headed for the overpass. But I'm way back here in the safety zone. I said, I'm way back here in the safety zone. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Hallelujah. Woo! They are saved. Protected. No fear in these last days. You got to learn. The Holy Ghost wants to show you where the ambushes are, where the terrorists are, whatever's going to go on. God said, you don't have to be destroyed, but I'm going to keep you. I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to protect you. Whatever's coming, I'm going to show you in advance so you can escape. Hallelujah. You don't have to be destroyed. Come on. Or otherwise, let's tear Psalm 91 out of the Bible and throw it away. But it's in there, isn't it? No evil shall befall thee. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. That doesn't happen automatically. It happens through what I'm telling you today. And so, I'm backed up, and here comes this truck, and he's gonna hit that car. And I just prayed the whole Bible in one word. Do you know how to pray the whole Bible in one word? Jesus! Bible said he's the Word made flesh. I just shouted out the name of Jesus. And somehow, with that car out of control on a two-lane bridge, that truck missed him. I said, that truck missed him. Woo! And he got across the bridge and kept going, and that other guy stayed out of control and ran into the median on the other side of the bridge. And I came across the bridge nice and slow and pulled over and helped him out. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. Give him some praise. Woo! I'd have probably been dead or hurt or something. But we get knowledge that the devil doesn't have. We can be forearmed. Forewarned. To be forewarned is to be what? Forearmed. So here's what happened. The Gehazi or Elisha went to the city of Dothan, and the army of Syria, the king of Syria, said, we got to find where this guy is. It's telling our military secrets so we can get on with the business of ambushing Israel. So let's go down to Dothan and get him. So they come down and they circle the city. You know the story. It says in verse 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? Here's a principle, all of you that are servants of the leadership of the house. Your faith level isn't at the same level as his yet. But it will be if you keep walking with him. Hallelujah. I said it will be if you can get to see what he sees. Your faith level will get up to the level his is, because faith is a matter of perception. The sixth sense gets its facts from revelation, not the five senses. And if you can perceive what the man of God perceives, you'll have the same level of faith the man of God has, the woman of God has. That's why you can't take on a real big project until you get a critical mass of people in faith in the house. A lot of people get eager that don't have wisdom, and they take on big projects when there's not a critical mass of faith in the house yet. There's not enough people that are seeing what the man of God's seeing, and their faith isn't up there in agreement with his yet. So what you have to do is keep preaching the vision. Hallelujah. You have to keep preaching the vision until they begin to see what you're seeing. And when enough people see what you're seeing, there reaches a mass of faith in the house. And what happens is now that thing becomes possible to the group. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. I'm preaching on vision. We're talking about how to take the limits off of God. Come on. Can you see a big sanctuary up on this hill to seat at least about 500-700 people? Come on. Can you see it? What can you see? When the man of God comes up here and says, you know, God has showed me something, you need to be all ears. You need to be saying, show me too, Lord. Show me too, Lord. Instead of saying, I don't see that. No, you don't see it yet. That's right. He says, well, I don't see that. No, yet. Well, pray. Ask God to show you what he's showing the man of God. Because God always shows the leader first. Come on. Every vision has a visionary. I'll guarantee you Jesus' vision, the disciples didn't have it at first. It took them a while to really see what he was talking about and catch up with him. But when they finally saw what he said, the Bible said they continued everything he began both to do, to say and to do. They got in the same level of faith as Jesus, and guess what? They were able to carry on his work without interruption. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise in here. Come on with me here this morning. Revelation knowledge is dropping in here today. You got to get to the same level of faith. Corporate faith is different than individual faith. When God calls a visionary, he gives a visionary a vision. And then he calls people into the vision. He said, write the vision that they that read it may run with it as you come by. It's like the picture of a billboard. That's why they use them. You put a billboard up there. He said, make it plain. Write the vision. Make it plain. Make it big. Make it understandable. So that as people are going by, they're running by, they're in their hurried lifestyle, and all of a sudden they see it. How many have been grabbed by a billboard before? I mean, you were breaking the speed limit, you were listening to tapes, you were zooming, but the billboard still got you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shame on you. No, just kidding. I did too, don't worry. But you get my point?
Yeah.
Right to vision. Leadership sees it and writes the vision, makes it plain so people are coming by, are grabbed by that vision, and then they begin to run with that vision. God calls the leader and gives him a vision, and he calls people into that vision. How does that happen? The leader gets a revelation. He sees what God sees. Remember what Jesus said? I only do that which I see my Father do. Him and the, he walked in that level of the creative faith of God. Remember what he said? Have the God kind of faith. Come on. How could Jesus have the God kind of faith? Because he saw what the Father saw. Faith perceives. Faith is a result of the perception of the spiritual reality. Faith, the sixth sense, gets its facts from revelation. Hallelujah. I'm pounding that nail through, praise God. We're going to get it on the other side, and then we're going to pound it down so it can't ever work itself loose. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap in here. Are you with me? Woo! Get a witness! 2 Kings, you see, the man, the servant of God, his faith level wasn't up to the level of the man of God yet. I'm going to have to quit, I think, pretty soon and finish tonight because I see her kids are coming back in. And
that's okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I know the heart can only and take in what the seat can endure, so I won't go too long here. We'll finish it tonight. We'll do part two tonight because I got the best is yet to come, folks. My part of the tag team tonight will be the last end of this message. Where we get into the limitless realm of the Spirit. Whew. Woo! 2 Kings chapter 6, look here. It says, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army, and they came around about the city, and the guy is still living in fear. See, faith and fear don't mix together. The servant here, was faith level was not at the level of his leader, and he was afraid. Verse 16, the leader had to speak to the fear issue in his follower's life. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. And he said to him, do not fear, verse 16, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. See, when the leader's got a vision and he's seen something, faith has come in his heart. And there's no fear there. And faith will perceives as a real fact. See, when faith has seen it, it's already done. It's done when you saw it. Oh, hallelujah. God shows you what's already finished in the spirit realm. Woo, son of a high. When you see it, it's already done. That's why you gotta call those things which be not as though they were, because Abraham, when God said, you're Abraham, he already saw himself as the father of multitude. He knew it was done. And that's why he called it done. And when God shows you, he shows you the end result. He shows you the finished deal. And when you see it, it's done. Faith perceives it as a real fact. Amen. And begins to call the things that be not as though they were. It's already done. Shola bahataya basai said it's already done. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey! Aha! See, I've seen RFI across this nation. I saw in a vision a map of this country. And I saw a foot, an indentation of where a foot had been. Are you with me? Picture this in your mind. See if you can see what I see. Alright? I saw a map of the U.S. and I'm back here in the East Coast where RFI is located. And I saw an indentation of a footprint. I didn't see who made it. I just saw where they walked. How many know? You've seen you know what I'm talking about? An indentation. And then there was another one. And then there was another one. Woo! Sanda Bahataya Basai. And I saw that footprint appear all the way to the West Coast. And God said, I'm going to walk you across this nation one region at a time. Hallelujah. RFI is called to be a national and an international organization. We're already in five nations established. Hallelujah. Six, including the U.S. Established. Planting churches, opening Bible schools. But God showed me and I saw it. And I tell you what, sometimes I don't see how it can happen. Human reason gets in and says, you're never going to get it done. And I say, tell you what, devil, I know I'm not, but I'm going to get it in the next generation and they're going to get it done. Hallelujah. And if they don't, they'll put it in the next generation and they'll get it done. Because if God gave you a vision, it's too great for your lifetime. And you got to start preparing the next generation now because they're going to finish what you start. And I'm raising up my sons now. Hallelujah. And they're going to finish what I've started. Woo! Sanda bahataya basai. My spiritual sons have now my natural sons have even become my spiritual sons. My boys Sam and Tim. Hallelujah. And they're preaching and teaching. And they're just after Dad's vision. They're starving to see what I see. Because they know God's called them to be the next generation. Put it in the next generation. Hallelujah. Come on. Whew. Are you the second generation in here under Harold's ministry and Deborah's ministry? If you're the second generation, then your quest needs to be to see what they see. You remember what Elijah said to Elisha when Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. What was he asking for? He was asking for the right of the firstborn son. Because Deuteronomy 21:17 said that the right of the firstborn son is a double portion. Double portion doesn't come to everybody. It comes to the spiritual sons and daughters. Hallelujah. And so Elijah told him the qualification. If you want to be my son, he said, if you see me when I go up. And the Hebrew said, if you see what I see. If you see what I see. Come on. I said, if you see what I see. And Elisha did. He got the revelation that Elijah was walking in. He saw what his father was walking in. And when he went up, the mantle fell. Hallelujah. And he was able to continue the ministry of Elijah. Carry it on. Look, let me go on here. Verse 16. Do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed. This is what leadership's got to do for their followers. They haven't seen it yet, so there can still be some fear. Well, I don't know how we can do that. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Only the Lord can open an eye. Come on. I said, only the Lord can open an eye. And the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha already saw it. And he was in faith. That's why he said, Lord, reveal it. Show my servant what I've seen so he can get delivered from fear and get up in the faith realm with me. In verse 18, it said, so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Hallelujah. Whew. It's all about the opening of the eyes. Now, I could give you more, but Peter in Matthew 14:23, he got to walking on the water, and what happened to him? The Bible said, Jesus spoke to him, said, come. You know what happened when he said, come? How many of you know what happens when lightning flashes? When lightning flashes in the dead of night, you see something for an instant, don't you? It illuminates the horizon. That's the way the Word of God comes. It comes like lightning. And it flashes through your spirit and you see it for a moment. And then you have to use your memory. Woo! Sanda Baha'i. You know what the Bible said? That you and I have to remember stuff. You know what? When you remember it, God gives it to you in members, a piece. He shows you. And then he shows you another thing, and he shows you another thing. And the Bible says you got to remember, you got to put all those glimpses together until you have the full picture. Hallelujah. Until you see what God sees. In Matthew, Peter got out of the boat. The Lord spoke to him. He said, come. And when God said, come, that lightning flashed. Peter saw himself walking on the water. He was now oblivious to the wind and the wave. The storm was already going, but he wasn't seeing it anymore. His sixth senses kicked in. He had a fact now. He had a revelation from the Word of God, and he saw himself walking on the water like Jesus. And as long as he kept seeing himself through that revelation and walking by faith, walking by what he saw in that sixth sense, acting on the Word of God, he was not limited to the five senses. He was not limited. He was walking on the water. That's pretty unlimited, isn't it? He was not limited to the natural realm at all. We're talking about taking the limits off of God. This is how you free yourself from the limitations of the natural realm. You got to get to revelation. God has to open your eyes. You see. You get a fact for your sixth sense to base itself on. And you keep that before your eye. Don't let the word depart from before your eye. Keep it in the midst of your heart. You keep acting on what you've seen. Walking by faith. Even though the five senses are hollering another reality. You now have a sixth sense. You've got a higher reality that you're walking by, and you've been freed from the limitations of the reality of the five senses. Hallelujah. Woo! You come out of limitation. Hallelujah. You come into unlimited ability in the realm of God, and you walk into supernatural, and that's where all things become possible. But Peter began to look and see and feel. The Bible said he saw the wind boisterous. He felt the wind, the waves blowing. And the Bible said, becoming afraid, he began to sink. See what happened? He got out of faith. That's the only time you drown is when you're out of faith. But here's my last point I want to make with you. Satan will work through the five senses to make you afraid. Come on, won't he? Woo! I said Satan will work through the five senses to make you afraid. God will deal with your sixth sense to get you out of fear. Hear my point. God may not remove the things Satan's using to make you afraid. He doesn't have to, because God did not stop the storm. Peter began to sink. The Lord reached down and pulled him back up out of the water, said, "Oh, Peter, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Let's go back to that point of faith where you began, and let's get you back there. And the storm was still raging. And he walked back to the boat. He got into the supernatural, got out of the supernatural, he got afraid by the things Satan was using in the natural realm. The Lord didn't change any of those things, didn't remove the things Satan was using to make him afraid. He just removed the fear itself. Hallelujah. By bringing Peter back into faith, by bringing him back to remember, Peter, how did you get started? You saw yourself walking on this water. Get back up here on this water, boy. Get back up in faith. And you get free from the limitations of the five sense realm and the natural realm. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Can you give the Lord a hand clap? Come on. Give him some praise and glory for the revelation of his word. I'm talking about vision here today. I'm talking about what you see with the sixth sense by revelation from God. And I'm going to finish here tonight because I got more nuggets to bring to you tonight of revelation from this message. But I want to pray right now. I want to ask God to release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the house. Before Pastor Harold comes back. Oh, Jesus. Let's all pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute. Come on.